I am 49, the 29th of April, 2002 to the 28th of April, 2003. Over. McChesney the Cat by Gary Nash. The 29th of April, 2002, I settled down to my favoured birthday breakfast of fresh, hot, buttered griddle cakes, drizzled with golden syrup, forgoing the honey of my youth for some Tate and Lyle's finest, together with at least 2 mugs of tea. Delish! This went some way to dispel the unease caused by last night on birthday eve when, in the fog before sleep, I mistakenly thought 49 was a prime number, divisible by a measly 1 in itself, a number that was closed and ungiving and a cause for inner turmoil and upset. Something I was going to be saddled with, something I would have to live with for a whole year of my fucking life. I thought I would have to make sacrifices to shake off this curse. Just before I nodded off, I was preparing to not write another word this year unless in chalk. As the chalk degraded and my words became lost for all time, so the curse of the prime number would also dissipate and lift. A fitting gesture, and one I can save for when I turn 53, perhaps. For at the cold light of day brought little clarity. Well, of course, number 49 is both natural and special. 49 is 7 squared, and the first square number where the digits are squares, 4 and 9 themselves are squares. An auspicious year beckoned, even though my griddle cakes were repeating a tad. The cat gingerly clawed at my bare calf, reminding me she too required breakfast. Once she had been fed, I must get down to the serious business of doing some more stuff. The 29th of July, 2002. Was the second time this week, on hearing that the fire alarm had set off, that the neighbour had felt the need to come and check in on me. And it's still only Monday. Ha! I thanked her kindly and assured her all was well and explained that it was due to the sanding I was doing in the kitchen. Hopefully that will be the end of it now, as I should have created enough brick dust together with some hearth ash I'd kept by for a little project I have in mind. I might be coming at this the wrong way and simply need to buy some clay. It is all a bit experimental, alchemy-like at the moment, though. Early days. It's always good to know that your smoke alarms are working. It does mean that I'm going to have to do extra dusting around the kitchen this afternoon. McChesney's not a fan, mind. She shot out the flap without eating her breakfast when the sanding started, and I could see her sulking amongst the rhododendrons at the bottom of the garden. She'll come in when she's hungry, sure enough. 29th of October, 2002. And an unanticipated couple of days to myself gave me a rare opportunity to check in on the foundry. Parking is hell round there, so I had to reacquaint myself with the Northern Line, always an adventure in itself. Just a short walk from the underpass and I was there. There was a minor concern as to which number I could exit from the station, but luckily subway number 4 suited my needs perfectly, taking me out the north side of the street and heading east with my destination in plain sight. First impressions? Looking spruce, I thought, with its new-to-me fresh layer of mark pen and spray paint taggings and all those band and statement stickers. Praise Bob indeed. Had a good chat with one of the bar staff there, Johnny. It was about music and that. And then got to discussing my latest project. In truth, I think his Catholic upbringing made him balk a bit, but overall, I can put him down as a firm yes. God is a cunt. We then toyed with the idea of how good it would be to do an audio recording of the Boolean turntable in Vault. The thundering metal as a giant visual pun and resonating with the resultant vinyl that would later spin on record decks. Another futures plan for my Things to Do notebook. He broke out the Kahlua shots and it all got a bit, well. 29th of January 2003. And still finding empties around the garden. The cleanup was hampered by the unexpected snowfall. Mind, it did take me back to those long gone days when you could make a bit of pocket money returning empties to the offie. When I was a scrap and the lads and I had great fun scouring the woods up by Blairmont Park for discarded Coronas or Watney Pale Ale bottles. Shudder to think what some of them had in them. Still, never did me any harm, eh? Yes, yes, I know, a prime example of survivor's bias. Just as I was finishing up sorting the bottles and cans into their respective recycling bins and still lost in a bit of boyhood reverie, the accomplice had come round for a cup of tea. Aye, as usual, he brought the digestives, the perfect dunking biscuit. I showed him the photos I had taken of McChesney's wee paw prints in the fresh snow last week and later ones as the thaw set in when they had got bigger and made it look like we had some panther or lynx prowling around out there. If I'm honest, I don't think he was impressed much. What, with him being more of a dog person? We have a tacit agreement that we would never discuss our projects should we meet on a Wednesday. We will have to wait until I pop over to his place next month to compare notebooks and work up our next plans to wake the world up and stir the industry. It will be my turn to supply the biscuits.
Under This Kelpie Loves You by Philip G. Patterson. April 29, 2002 was the 119th day of the year 2002. The day of the week was a Monday, my 49th birthday. I awoke to the sound of the rain hammering down on the window. As per my usual morning routine, I went downstairs grabbing the newspaper from the letterbox on the way to the breakfast table. BP profit halved to £1.6 billion. PwC partners get £1 million bonus. House prices soar to 16.5% in a year. The usual corporate shite. Nothing of any real meaning to the good, hard-working people. I'd recently placed a guest book in Liverpool, posing a question, the idea being to get people talking and thinking. No mention of it in the news, strange. Normally they jump at the chance to discredit me slash us in any way they can. Anything to feed their coffers. Still, this year was going to be different. I needed something different. There was a feeling of unease in the air. I wasn't sure what form that would take yet. I knew it would come to me. I decided to head to Scotland, to a quiet loch. Loch Ildemore. I'd remembered a story from when I was young about the Kelpies. For some reason, the memory was fresh in my mind, as if it had just been decanted to me. I decided I needed to investigate this myself. I quickly arranged a trip over the next few days. Planning, purchasing tickets, asking the neighbours to check in and feed the cat, all the usual first world stresses a simple journey brings. A number of sunrises and sunsets later, I arrived. stood on the shores of the loch. I breathed in the clear air. Anyone who's been to this magnificent land knows that there is nothing better than the crisp air inhaled by a freshwater loch on a late spring morning. I gathered some wood and made a fire ready for the evening ahead. I decided to go back to nature and use only what the land could provide for shelter. I soon realized this was a step too far when the rain began beating down and made haste to a bothy I'd spotted whilst rambling by the loch earlier in the day. Days turned to weeks. I'd been fishing and living off the land, still unsure why I was here. I knew I needed to stay, but couldn't say why. The next morning, when I awoke, the fire was nearly out, the sun had risen and was shining on my face through the bothy window. It was moments like this when life felt good. The warm sun shining on my face, no disturbances from the wider world. A shadow passed by the window and I was drawn outside. I looked, nothing to be seen. I headed down to the loch to catch the day's fish. As I sat by the loch, with my makeshift rod and line, my thoughts drifted back and forth. After an unknown time, I was disturbed by the pull on my fishing rod. As I looked into the crystal clear waters to see what was on the rod, I noticed nothing but myself staring back at me. But this was different. It wasn't my reflection. It was me, but not me. I pulled the rod out of the water and my likeness arose out of the water. My face looked at me and said, "Time to go home, Bill. The kelpies will be here soon." With that, the face sank back down into the waters. I headed back towards the bothy to ponder what had just happened. Had this been some sort of hallucination? Had I taken too many of my tablets? I headed up away from the bank and over a cobblestone wall towards the bothy. As I got closer, I noticed the door ajar and hoof prints in the floor. I slowly headed inside, tiptoeing as quietly as possible. I had no idea what was waiting for me inside. I slowly crept up to the door, leaned round and looked. Nothing there. What a relief. I began to pack the things I had with me and pondered the face in the pond. What did it all mean? It soon became dark. I gathered some more wood for the fire and returned for my final night in the bothy. I'd try and head back to London the next day, so it made sense to get ready for an early off. I laid by the fire, thinking and letting my imagination run as it does when you're surrounded by such quiet. I awoke in the early hour suddenly. I was on the back of a kelpie. It must have gotten in the bothy during the night and lured me onto its back in my sleep. I was unable to speak, and it slowly headed towards the water as the sun came up. The kelpie walked round and round for hours, tormenting me by the water before slowly walking me into the loch early that afternoon. As I entered the water, my life flashed in front of me. All my memories were there again and so real. After a moment, I realized I was still here, but not here, under the water. I looked up and felt a pain in my mouth. I was rising towards the surface fast. As my face came out of the water, I was face to face with myself, holding a fishing rod. I couldn't speak other than to utter the words, "Time to go home, Bill. The kelpies will be here soon." I then felt the grip of the kelpie again and began to sink slowly down into the water. Everything slowly went black. a bright flash, and I was in a bed, in a hospital. The date being 28th April 2003. Tomorrow, I'd be 50 years old. How did I come to get here? And thank fuck, that was just a dream. Surely the next year would be better.